Welcome to You Talking to Me, the radio show where your host, Big JD, talks to a different guest every week on a variety of subjects. That's the You Talking to Me show. And now, here he is, your host, Big JD.
All right, welcome to the show, You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and today I'm talking to Paige Sanko. Paige is a professional amateur pool player. Welcome to the program, Paige.
Thank you very much, Big JD.
So maybe we'll start with a little bit of personal information. How long have you been playing pool, maybe in a league and professionally?
I'd have to say I've been playing now for about 14, 15 years.
Okay, that's quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
And what got you started?
My girlfriend and I used to like to go out and shoot pool in the afternoon when nobody was at the bars or anything like that, so we could play and learn how to play the game, because at the time I was dating a guy who played pool and it really interested us.
Okay.
So we decided, oh, let's get into it. So we went in the pools of bars, I should say, and we'd go in there in the afternoons when no one was around, and we would just shoot pool. And then one day we seen on the wall that they wanted a women's pool team.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a team together, and that's how it got all started.
How does that work really quickly? I know we'll get into more detail on the team thing and that, but how many women would have been put together then?
At that time, there was five on the team. Now there's only four for the women's.
Okay.
And then there's five for the men's. And you play every other person on the team once, and you have your rounds and then your total points. And you have a season, like our season's from September till April.
Mm-hmm.
If you win the season, you get a free trip to Vegas and you play down in Vegas.
Okay, yeah.
And you play all the different teams from around the world in that, you know, league.
Cool. And I know you've done some of that, so we'll get into that later as well. Kind of thing, I guess, that got you started was the guys were playing pool and that sort of thing.
Yes.
Did you ever get into anything like the movies about pool? Do you have any, like, kind
movies
of a pool idol or anything like that?
Oh, I have up on my wall the pictures from the movie Hustler and The Color of Money and Pool Junkies and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yes, I like watching any kind of videos. Pool on TV, I watch it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I enjoy it.
You mentioned that there's usually, I guess, five members make up the team.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like a standard number for?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Is there a reason why it's like five and not four or not three or not seven? Or?
I guess it's just, you know, it's time consuming. You go and you play from 7 o'clock till, if you got two tables to play on, it's good. It's a smooth night. You go from 7 till like 9:30 the latest.
Right.
Right? If you get stuck on one table, which mm-hmm. I have been, you're there till like 11 o'clock at night. So if you were to put more people on the team, it would be
a longer
evening, exactly.
Okay.
I have played where you only have three people on your team, but that's nine ball. That's not eight ball.
Okay.
Eight ball, you know, you have 4 to 5 players on your team. Nine ball, you can have, like, you know, 4 players, 5 players, 3 players, whatever.
What exactly does that mean, the difference between 8-ball and 9-ball? For our listeners, of course, I'm, you know, well-versed in pool, so it wouldn't
right.
be for
well,
me.
Well,
but.
It's two different, yeah, it's two different games. Basically, in 9-ball, you're using only the balls from 1 to 9.
Right.
In 8-ball, you're using all of the 15 balls. It's a longer game. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. 9 balls playing with 9 balls, 8 balls playing with actually 15 balls.
Exactly.
All right. And when you watch some of those movies, like, you know, you mentioned The Hustler with Paul Newman, I guess, and
Jackie Gleason.
Yeah. When you watch these guys playing for the movie, is it pretty realistic or were they good pool players? Do you know? Or?
Oh, yeah. Like in that movie, Jackie Gleason did all of his own playing.
Okay.
He was very, very into pool. He enjoyed it a lot, billiards and stuff like that. So, yes, it is. It is a lot of it's real.
Okay, so it looks realistic to someone like yourself.
Yes, it's very real. Like, I don't know if you've ever seen the trick shooters. They're excellent to watch.
Yeah, the guy's doing actual trick shots.
Exactly. It's
I have seen that.
Are you kidding me? People can actually do that on a pool table?
Yeah.
I start running into my pool room thinking I could try and do it, eh?
Yeah, I think it's awesome when I just make a ball go over another one to hit my, you know.
Yeah, when you jump the ball.
But then I've seen Benny Hill do that and put a hole in the... Mm-hmm. You ever watch Benny Hill play pool?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah.
I don't know that he was a professional player or anything. But what about the pro players like Minnesota Fats and things like that? Are you into some of these guys?
Oh, yes, yes.
Cool.
Like when we go down to Vegas and compete, a lot of the professionals and pros from around the world are there.
Right, okay.
They're competing in their own competition, you know what I mean? Because there's all the different levels.
And there are a lot of women pro players as well, probably.
Yes.
And
Yes.
Are there any famous women players like the guys are, Minnesota Fats, and even a couple of guys' names? Who else is there?
There's Allison Fisher.
Okay.
Jeanette Lee, who's known as the Black Widow.
Mm-hmm.
There's numerous women out there, very famous women, pool players,
mm-hmm.
that promote it and, you know, do a lot of tournaments and...
Events and things, sure.
Yes, yeah.
Were there professional women, like, back in the day?
No.
Yeah.
No. Women weren't even allowed to go in pool halls back in the day.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
Back, you know, when my mom and my dad used to hang around in pool halls and stuff, women were not allowed in them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well,
there's some trivia for our listeners.
Yeah.
What's the reason for that?
I guess they didn't think it was a place for women, ladies, you know. Hmm. Prim and proper, it wasn't a place for women.
Would you feel that it's more a 50-50 thing now, or is it have women taken over the sport?
Well, you know, it's now that it's like the 21st century and that it's becoming more and more of a 50-50 game.
Right.
Maybe like when I first started, you know, 14 years ago, 15 years ago, it mm-hmm. still wasn't that common for women to be playing.
Right.
But now there's so many women pool players out there now. And like, I don't even play in the women's division anymore. I play in the men's. Mm-hmm. And there's so many more women that are playing in the men's division. It's really nice to see.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask you next, actually, was, you know, about women playing with men. Are there some groups where they're, that just women will play against each other kind of thing? Or is it just totally mixed?
Well, there's Thursday nights, you know, you have your women's division where it's just women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then you've got your Monday nights, your Tuesday nights, which is mostly men. But there are women's teams in there that play against the men.
Right.
You know.
Okay. Interesting. Have you always been competitive?
Yes.
Like, even in other things?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I've been in all kinds of sports my whole life.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Pool Hall of Fame.
The Pool Hall of Fame. Well, that's down in Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And basically, people nominate you.
Right.
And they put your... all what you have done and accomplished through your career of pool,
mm-hmm.
you don't have to necessarily be a professional to get into the Pool Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people that are in the Pool Hall of Fame,
yeah,
and they have a committee, and the committee sits down and they vote on who they think should be that person for that year that gets inducted into the Pool Hall of Fame.
What makes them nominated? Is that winning consecutive games of some kind, or their team, or their...
Winning a lot of tournaments.
Mm-hmm. Can it be just notoriety? Somebody that's, you know, gotten famous, kind of, even though they're not...
I wouldn't say that, but I would say I know people that are in there that are not, like I said, they're not at a professional level at their pool game. I mean, they are great pool players, don't get me wrong,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
at the same time, it's what they give to the game, too, you know what I mean?
Okay, I see.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that they run a lot of things. They do, like in our town and country amusements league,
mm-hmm.
they have this new thing where they started where they vote in somebody every year and they get a $1,000 scholarship.
Okay.
And whoever in their family or they can use it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do things like that and you run a lot of tournaments and you give back to the league and the association and pool, they'll look at that also.
I know that you had mentioned to me pre-show about a local personality, I guess a pro player, Wayne McNeil?
Blaine.
Blaine McNeil, okay.
Yeah, he's the one that kind of took me under his wing. And he's in the Pool Hall of Fame. And he's the one that took me under his wing and basically taught me the game of pool.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a really good pool player. He's kind of like one of my mentors.
Right, okay. Is the Pool Hall of Fame basically like a North American thing? Is it worldwide?
It's worldwide.
Okay.
Worldwide.
So I guess there's some... Have you played against people from Europe as well?
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
I've played against people that, you know, the only common word that you have is safety because they can't speak any English.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So probably a lot of stick hitting going on and...
No. I wouldn't go that far. I mean, sometimes, yeah, that kind of gets...
You haven't seen any pool fights, have you?
I have over my years, but
maybe in the bars, but I mean,
yeah, but not down in Vegas in competition like that. No,
I had my quarter sitting on the side of the table.
No, it doesn't work that way.
All right, your family, your friends, what do they think about you and pool as a sport?
They actually, my mom, she loves it. She's like my number one fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She actually plays now herself, but in a novice league.
Mm-hmm.
And she loves it. She has a great time. She comes to, you know, a lot of my tournaments or playoffs or league nights, and she watches. And everybody's pretty well, they enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know?
That's good. It's good to have the support of your friends and family as well.
Yeah.
Because...
Well, they know when they come over here and we're just hanging around that we're going to be hanging around the pool table and we'll be playing pool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that.
Yeah. And if anything, I guess it's a fun pastime anyway.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I know for myself it is. I'm not by no means a professional. I wouldn't even say I'm an amateur pool player, but it's always fun.
Of course. Of course.
So we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back to a little bit of the team that you actually play for.
Okay.
And a little bit about, you know, the divisions and things like that. And then I want to get into some of the pro stuff, the tournaments, the travel, and that kind of thing. We'll be back right after these messages.
You need more Big JD? Visit the website, www.bigjd.com.
Okay, we're back, and we're talking to Paige Sanko. Paige is a pro pool player, and I just want to ask you a little bit now about some of the things that you had mentioned, junior to senior levels, I guess, caliber of play, the divisions, masters, things like that.
You have different levels of pool players. Mm-hmm. So when you go into leagues, and or tournaments or anything like that, they put you in the level that you can compete at. So have like your masters, which is your highest. Your masters is the highest level you can go until then you go pro or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
In a league. So then you have your masters, and then from there you have like your A players, and then you have your B players.
Okay.
Depend. Like usually, what will happen if you want to join pool? Usually, the like Tony Liberti that runs our leagues, he knows pretty well all the pool players out there.
Mm-hmm.
He knew when we joined that we didn't know nothing. We had no idea. We didn't know the rules or nothing. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. You probably, even if you're a decent pool player in the bars, you probably don't realize that there's a lot more to the actual sport. So
exactly. Yeah. So we didn't know really what was. So he basically he'll come out, play pool with you, and just kind of see what your level's at,
mm-hmm.
and then put you where he thinks you should be at. And
okay.
then you just progress from there. Like, some people never progress. They enjoy it. It's just a night out for them, right?
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is fine. But and then there's other people like me, and there's a, you know, that we just keep going up into the higher levels and higher levels.
And you get belts for that, don't you? Green belt, yellow belt, black? No.
No, just trophies.
That's right. And I know you have some, and we're going to get into that a little later, too. How about we talk a little bit about the pro stuff now, the tournaments, the travel, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now, you compete. Can you discuss a little bit about maybe what you enjoy about it and what the tournaments are kind of all about?
Well, basically, you know, most of your tournaments are out of town.
Mm-hmm.
So what I enjoy about it is you get to get away for the weekend and you play pool all weekend long and you're with everybody else that enjoys the same thing that you're doing.
Yeah, right.
And it's just one big party, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and so you all meet together. And so what happens is basically your team, you'll travel together. Like you'll either take two cars or one car, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whoever's got the biggest vehicle, like a van or whatever, and you just go.
Mm-hmm.
And you stay in a hotel room together and you usually play right in that area.
Okay.
Like usually they'll try and do it where it's the hotel is attached to the place that you need to be playing at,
mm-hmm,
or
mm-hmm.
if not, it's right across the street, so you're not driving too much, or and then you just play all weekend long. So it's like you get there on the Thursday or the Friday, you play your singles, and then after the singles are done, then you start your team events.
Okay.
And then you play through your team events, and then Sunday is the finals.
So usually just a weekend thing, you come back, or?
Oh, yeah, like I've traveled, you know, all over Canada. I've traveled into the States, and you just go, like, Ohio's a very, very big place for pool.
Mm-hmm. You'll go from city to city across the area, or do you come back and then you do the next tournament? And
yeah, you come back and you do a tournament.
Okay, so it's not actually like a tour thing?
No.
Okay.
No. You can do tours and that, but that's more of a professional level.
Right, okay.
But you do come back, like, after your tournament. It's just a weekend thing.
Right, yeah. I guess that would make it easier if you're working and things like that as well. I mean, you can...
Well, yeah, that's why we're the pro amateurs, right?
Right.
Because we have jobs other than pool.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So we have to get home after that, make some money.
Right. How about sponsorships, endorsements? Is that anything that you've been kind of blessed with being able to have? Or
yes.
Can you tell us a bit about it? Yeah.
Yes. Basically, the bar or club that you play for, or Legion or whatever that you play for, mm-hmm. they will sponsor you in a tournament.
Okay.
Some places are really good where they'll sponsor you in all of your tournaments. Or you can get companies that you know around in the city and that, you know, people that you know that run, you know, big companies and that.
Right, to sponsor, they put up money and...
Yeah, they'll put up money for the team or...
So what's that usually go for? Do you guys have a particular, you know, clothing or anything? Or is it some of the travel? Or is it the things that you need, like equipment?
You need your pool cues.
Right.
And basically, that's about it. Basically, it's just for gas and everything like that. Like,
yeah.
Other than your pool cues, you really don't need everything on in your clothes.
And plus, I guess they must get advertised somehow. How does that work for the sponsors? Are they advertised somehow, or what does the company get out of endorsing or sponsoring?
Well, they get it's a write off on their taxes.
Okay, enough said.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if like you actually promoted them or there were flyers made with their names.
Oh, we promote them too.
Yeah.
Like we wear shirts, like team shirts.
Okay, and it'll have your sponsors on it then.
Right.
Exactly. Oh, good. Okay. Maybe we can talk a little bit about where you've placed, because I know in the tournaments you've placed pretty well, actually.
Yes, and in a lot of tournaments I've placed in, you know, the top three. I had about 3 years ago, 2 years ago, we had this one women's team where we were unbeatable,
mm-hmm.
and we just traveled all over, and we were always like first, second, or third.
Oh, yeah.
You know, due to certain things and different circumstances, we've had to split up, but I've gone down to Vegas. We have competed down in Vegas. We came in 12th in the team events
mm-hmm.
out of like 400 teams, and then out of 2,400 women, I came in 17th in the singles.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's great.
That was a big accomplishment. And it was funny, too, because everybody's like, okay, you know where you're at? I'm like, I don't care. I just want to know when my next match is. Don't let me know all that. I don't
want to right.
know.
Spoil everything.
Yeah, exactly. But, yeah, you travel all over. Like, I've been in tournaments in Hamilton and Toronto and
mm-hmm.
and in Sandusky, Ohio and that, where we've come in first and we've come in second. And you win cash prizes and...
Are there any differences, actually, in the rules or anything like that between, say, Canada and the U.S. or maybe even Europe? Or is it all basically...
It's all basically the same.
Okay.
But there are just little changes, like not major changes, but just little ones.
And you'd have to conform to those when you play in that certain area?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Have you gone to Europe to play at all or no?
No.
Okay.
No. But, yeah, it's like the difference is, you know, in Ohio in some of the tournaments, you rack for yourself. That way nobody can complain about having a bad rack.
I have some information here about play season and winning a trip, and then you'd play with the same from all over the world that
yes.
I guess... Have...
Well, see, you have your leagues, right? Like I was telling you earlier.
Right.
You play from September to April. If you win your division in our league, you win the trip to Vegas. So your air flight, your stay, and your entry in to play against other teams that won their division... And have come to Vegas, and then you compete with everybody.
Okay, how does that get funded? Who's that by?
That's
not the sponsors.
By the VNEA.
So the VNEA is that? That's a pool organization.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's worldwide, so international.
So the VNEA is worldwide.
Yeah. Like I played people from the Philippines, Spain,
mm-hmm.
England, Bahamas.
Wow.
Yeah. Actually, I found out that there's a tournament there in October. I'd like to go down to the Bahamas.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So are you going to make that one, or how's that going to work?
I've been looking into it, actually. It's in October, so
mm-hmm.
I said to my girlfriend, we've been looking up on the internet and checking it out, so.
Well, that sounds like it'd be a lot of fun.
If I can get away, I'm going.
Yeah? Would you go even just to be there?
Oh, yeah.
Aside from whether you could get sponsored for that or anything?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Cool. We're going to take another break, and when we come back, I want to talk to you about pool as a game in general.
Don't miss You Talking to Me with Big JD.
Need more Big JD? Go to BigJD.com. Check out the program guide there for all the shows that I host and the shows I host with Lippo, as well the blog, merchandise, and more. BigJD.com.
Okay, we're back. This is You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD, and I'm talking to Paige Sanko. If you're just joining us, Paige is a professional amateur pool player. Now I'd like to talk a little bit about pool as a game in general, types of games, snooker. You mentioned 8-ball and 9-ball, maybe some fun games that, I don't know, are there other games that you can actually play?
Yeah, like we play golf, and then there's 7-ball, and there's all different kinds of little games that you can play on the table, but competing-wise, it's mainly 8-ball, snooker, 9-ball.
I know we talked a little bit about, you know, maybe some of the differences between Canada, U.S., Europe, that kind of thing, but as far as league rules and bar rules, when you're playing in the bar or even for fun, are you still following the same kind of guidelines?
No.
No?
No, not at all. I can't stand bar pool.
Okay.
Well, now that I play league rules, because league rules is different. Bar pool is, you know, BS. Excuse my language. You know,
so BP is BS.
Wherever it goes, you know. In league, you have to call your pocket. And, like, just here in our area, Windsor, Ontario, and I think it's just so your loony or your dollar lasts longer when you're playing.
All right, okay. It's a dollar now to play?
Yeah, it's a dollar now. Dollar and a quarter now, some places.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was still a quarter.
Oh, yeah. I wish. But when you go out there, they want to make it last their game longer, so they put 8-ball last pocket.
Well, right.
Geez, you get people that don't know how to play, and the 8-ball's all, that game could take forever. We play 8-ball any pocket, you know.
Uh-huh.
If you get down to that ball, you deserve to put it in any pocket.
And that's the league rule?
Yes.
League, though, you do have to call all your other pockets?
Yes.
Okay.
And then there's, you know, like, there's safety shots and different types of shots, like, that legally in league, there was no way that you could get away with that shot. But
okay.
In bar pool, they don't understand.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of differences.
When you're playing in the league, do people still use those trick positions like the cue behind their back kind of thing? And do people do that kind of stuff? Or is it even not allowed? Or
some people do, but it's really not allowed because, you know, you don't want to try and be like all
flashy.
You want to be able to just make the shot.
Right.
You're not worrying about being fancy and showing off.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess that sounds like something more for the bar, I guess, and you're probably under a fair amount of stress when you're at the tournaments and so forth.
Exactly. You're not thinking about all that kind of goofy stuff.
Uh-huh. And even though you are a pro pool player, when the pressure's on, I guess it's still got to be
a
level of stress, huh?
Oh, you do. You feel it. You do. Like, I know when my ears start burning and my hands, you know, are sweating and all that, I'm like, okay. You know, your adrenaline's going.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I can't sit down. I'm like, all right. But, see, I thrive off of that. Some people don't, but I do. I thrive. I'm like, okay, I'm
That's
here.
The thrill for you.
Yeah, okay, I'm ready. Let's go. I'm pumped.
You get sweaty hands. I know in bowling they have the air thing there for your, you know. What do you guys, use a towel or do you?
Yeah, we have a towel. Some people.
Do you chalk your hands at all?
I don't chalk my hands. Some once in a while I might use a little bit of baby powder.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, put a little bit on my hand and kind of rub it through. So it's not, I'm just my towel.
What's your actual, you know, while we're on the subject, I guess, your style of shot? I see a lot of people will hook their finger over the stick. Some will just place their whole hand almost flat down on the table. Like, are there, you know, better ways to play than others? Or is it just whatever you're comfortable with? Or what is there something that, you know, particularly does work better or slide better through your hand?
It's basically what you're comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
What you like. Like, I don't shoot with my finger over top, but it's almost like that. It's hard to explain. Like, some people put their hand right flat. I need to put my hand half flat, half not.
Right, okay. Mm-hmm.
So it all depends on what's comfortable for you. I mean, back, you know, people used to always put the finger over top.
Right.
But it depends. Like, there's some shots, you know, that I have to put my finger over top.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I don't use my finger over the top. I think it's just basically what's comfortable for you. As long as your bridge hand, that's your bridge hand, okay, the
right.
one that's on the table, it has to be solid. As
right.
long as it's solid and you're not shaking and it's not, you know, all over the place and it's comfortable, then that's what the way you should stay with it.
Okay. And is it mandatory to have your hand on the table, touching?
It should be.
Right. Okay.
It should be.
Have you seen anybody like, I've seen a lot of people that, you know, write holding a pen, very strange. Have you seen anybody actually holding the stick
or
you know, their solid hand, really?
I've seen this one person, it's going to be hard to explain it over the phone, but they had their pinky and their next finger touching, and the thumb and the index finger and their middle finger were up in the air.
Oh, okay,
and they had
odd.
The cue in between the two fingers.
Wow.
And they never missed a shot.
Really?
Yes, never missed a shot. I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Did you ever try it after?
Yeah, there was no way.
Yeah.
There was no way.
Okay, before I move on, I have to ask you one other thing. You ever seen anybody with their hand flip palm up?
No.
To hold it?
No, nothing crazy like that, no.
Okay.
Because you want the bottom of your palm to be on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, you're over top of a ball. Obviously, if you're over top of a ball, you can't do it. But for the most part, if you can, that needs to be, because now you're solid.
Right.
You're not going to, you know, lose your balance.
How about strategy itself? Different things like stroke, safety.
Okay, well, obviously, your stroke is when you're hitting the ball.
However that works,
there
a pendulum.
There are different types of strokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It depends on what kind of shot you want to make, right? There's different kinds of strokes, like you can poke stroke it, follow through stroking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's different types of it depends on what you want, because with the cue, it all depends on your cue ball.
Right, okay.
After you make the shot, it depends on
where you want that ball to end up.
Exactly, for your next shot. So you have to do different strokes and on different types of shots. Safeties is where you don't have a shot, or you do have a shot, you're not going to leave yourself another shot.
Okay.
Where you just kind of hit your ball, roll up, and hide behind another ball.
Okay.
So they can't take a shot.
Right.
It's not as much as offense as deep. There's also a lot of defense in this game.
Mm-hmm.
That people don't realize, because with bar pool, it's just, you know, you're trying to hit anything.
Right, exactly.
And get lucky. Well, you know, in pool, there's only 5% luck.
Right.
10% skill, 85% of it's mental.
Mm-hmm.
So
the big part of the game, obviously, is putting that ball someplace where your opponent's not going to have a
clean shot on.
Right.
You know, and if you have to leave them a shot, you leave them a hard shot.
Mm-hmm.
And if they make it, well, good on them. If they don't, well, good for you. Now the game's back into where you're controlling the table.
Right. And a hook shot. What is a hook shot?
Well, a hook shot is where I hit my ball,
uh-huh,
and I'll hide up against one of my balls, or say like the eight ball, or even put my ball in.
Okay, so a hook shot's not, you're not actually doing something that's a hook shot. You're putting it somewhere in a position where the other person is hooked.
Yeah, I'm not taking a hook and hitting the ball. No.
Right, right.
No.
Well, no, I was kind of under the impression that it was your ball would kind of go in a circular motion around something else.
No,
but
no,
you're
no,
actually,
no.
Hooking is actually trying to put that ball in a position where they can't get around your ball.
Yeah, it's called a safety shot. When you're in league, you have to call a safety.
Right.
Before.
Oh, you have to call that?
Yes.
Even doing that, okay.
Yes, you have to call it. So you have to call everything, basically. I mean, there is a common knowledge that, okay, if the ball's like 6 inches away and it's right in front of the pocket, I know that's where I'm going, and they know that's where I'm going. I'm not going to say anything. But if it's a safety shot, you should let your opponent know.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's the common word with everybody is a safety, but also like slang and all that, like it's a hook shot.
Right, okay.
You know, you're just basically trying to not give them a shot. Because in league rules, see, it's different. You, after contact, after hitting your object ball,
right,
to make a legal shot, if you're making a safety, any ball after contact has to hit a rail.
Okay? Oh, okay.
For it to be, like, I just can't, you know, you see in the bars where you got the ball and they're like, oh, I'm just going to play a hook shot on you, and they just roll it up and the cue ball just hits the ball.
Right, yeah.
That would be a foul. That would be considered a foul in league.
Okay, because that other ball in league has to hit the rail.
Right.
Hmm.
to make it a legal shot so that it makes it more of a game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it doesn't hit a rail, then the opponent gets the cue ball in hand, which means he can pick it up and put it anywhere on the table and shoot his ball.
Wow.
So that's why you have to call a safety shot, because they need to be able to see if you're going to make a legal shot.
Right.
And not just roll up and not hit a rail or whatever, not make it a legal shot.
Okay. That explains the reason behind calling.
Yeah, yeah.
How about equipment? The balls, the cues, the chalk, the table?
That's all provided for us.
Mm-hmm.
The chalk, the tables, and that. Basically, you need your cue and just your stuff to make sure that your cue is, like, you know, you're clean, your shaft, and then your tip, you know, because your tip should always not, you know, when it doesn't get rough on your tip, you got to roughen it up so the chalk grabs onto your tip better. And you got your case that you hold your cue in, and your towel, and your all your little stuff that you use.
Right, okay. What determines the length of your cue stick?
They're pretty well all the same height.
Oh, really?
Yes.
No, you don't
It's the weight that's different.
Okay.
Okay. Some people like a heavier cue.
Mm-hmm.
Some people like a longer cue. Or a lighter
cue. A lighter one, yeah.
I prefer, like, kind of in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I have two cues. I have one cue that I just shoot with, which is a 19.5 ounces.
Right.
Now, I have a breaking cue. But I had my friend who does pool stuff, like fixes cues and everything,
mm-hmm.
added in weight, and it's a 23.5.
Okay.
So when I'm breaking, I'm getting that extra oomph
mm-hmm.
to smash out them balls.
Where do you break from? Straight on center? Are you able to move that to the side?
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was breaking from the center,
mm-hmm.
and I was finding that I was breaking the balls out, but I wasn't getting a ball down.
Right.
And then my opponent's going to turn around and run me out, and I'm losing the game because I'm basically giving him the game.
Right.
So I moved it over to the side,
mm-hmm.
and now I've been breaking from the side. Like, I've only been doing this now for a couple weeks.
Oh, okay.
Where I'm breaking from the side now, but at least now I'm getting a ball down when I'm breaking.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I find that they'll spread out more when I hit to the side.
Yeah, yeah. Some people prefer the front
mm-hmm.
or hitting from the head ball. Some people prefer hitting off the side. I mean, right now, the side is working for me, but I'll move
That's
it
good.
Around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I might even, like, down the road, I might stop making the ball that way.
Right, yeah.
And then I'll go back to hitting on the head from the front, you know?
I've always found that it takes a much harder shot hitting head-on
to
break those balls up.
Yes, a lot of follow-through.
You also teach and you help other instructors, and I want to come back to that after we take a quick break.
This is Phyllis, and you're listening to You Talking to Me.
Hey, Big JD here. Just want to let you know that you can go to www.bigjd.com. Find out more information about all the shows that I currently host on internet radio stations and podcasting.
We're back. I'm your host, Big JD, for You Talking to Me on the All Talk Radio Network. I'm talking to Paige Sanko, professional pool player. And Paige, you teach pool. You help other instructors. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Well, basically, there's different coaches around in this area that, you know, teach. There's some that just do it for just because they enjoy it, you know. Some do it for actual living. And I started out with my own coach, Greg Fardom, and he was coaching me.
Uh-huh.
And then he basically got me to help out coaching with him. And I helped him coach with, you know, the kids. I helped him coach with, like, more of the beginners in the pool. Like, he'll take on the higher-level players, and I'll take on lower-level players.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically now, you know, even now, like, I'll get people that'll just even just come up to me in the bar and ask me, you know, what am I doing wrong with this, or how should I do this? And I don't understand why, when I'm doing this, the ball's reacting this way.
Right.
So I'll just basically take them off to the side, or I have a table at home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bring people to the house, and I'll help them out with their game here.
Okay.
You know, but I don't really do it for the money of it. I just do it because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mind teaching and helping people.
That's good. Your other accomplishments, trophies, awards, maybe newspapers, magazines, things like that. I know that you have trophies. You got a lot of trophies?
Yeah, oh my God, yeah. I got to get more shelves. I got these stupid trophies.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
When did you receive your first trophy?
Oh, geez. When
do you remember?
I had to be trying to look around right now and see if I could find it. I know which one it is. Oh, there it is. That was back in 93, 94.
Wow.
Yep. That was a long time ago. But that was my first trophy. I'll never forget it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was all proud of myself. My favorite trophy, though, is my MVP.
Most valuable player. Yeah.
But that's not just in your division or your team. I mean, that's in the whole league.
Right on.
Yeah. And I got that. I got that back 2002.
And when are you getting your next MVP?
I'm hoping I'm going to get that this year, actually. I got good stats for that this year.
The tournaments and stuff, will you find that stuff on the internet? Will you find, you know, your name, maybe any of your statistics or anything? Will people be able to find that kind of stuff? Or?
Oh, yes. You can, excuse me. You can go on the internet and you can get any information about the leagues, tournaments,
mm-hmm.
who placed in the tournaments. You know.
Okay, so you'll be in that list when you get your next trophy,
right,
even.
Exactly.
So our listeners will be watching for that.
Yes, after May 9th.
Okay, the pressure's on.
Yeah, I know.
You don't want to let the You Talking to Me listeners down.
No.
How about newspapers and magazines?
In 2004, we were in the newspaper. My girlfriend and I were approached about doing a reality show on women's billiards.
Okay.
Cool. And we were in the newspaper first, mm-hmm. talking about it, and then we did a little pilot. Actually, on the internet, if you go to Suede Productions, you can see our pilot that we made.
Oh, really? Okay. What's the name of the website again?
Suede Productions.
Suade?
Yeah, Suede.
Okay, Suede, yep.
Suede Productions. If you go under there, they have, like, that's the company that did all the filming.
Okay.
And they have our pilot on there for their commercial type thing to, you know.
Yeah.
These are all the different things that we have done,
mm-hmm.
basically, so.
Okay, that's a pretty neat accomplishment, I'd say.
Yeah, it was really neat.
So what happened? They did the pilot, but the show never took off, or they never?
Basically, yeah. What happened was the guy that was the head of, yeah, the network, I think there was a couple different networks that we were going to be with, and he was excited about it. Well, he left, and this new guy came in.
Okay.
And he wasn't really interested about doing a reality show on women's billiards,
mm-hmm.
so we kind of got put on the shelf.
Well, that sucked.
Well, yeah, but, it was a lot of fun,
mm-hmm.
filming and doing it, and it was exciting, and yeah, it does suck, but I could talk about it for the rest of my life, you know what I mean? It's something I can talk about, say, hey, I did a pilot.
Sure, and as long as it's on the internet or whatever, then,
yeah.
You know, at least you can direct people there to see what you did.
Exactly, people be like, yeah, right. I'm like, I'm telling you, go there on the internet, man, you'll see me.
Well, I know after the show, I'm going to take a look.
Oh, for sure.
So, how about promo materials? Do pool players have promo materials, like, of themselves? You use photo shots yourself or business card or anything promote with?
Yeah. If you get into the Pool Hall of Fame, it's almost like you have your baseball card.
Okay, yeah.
You have a card, and then on the back it shows all your, you know, achievements and whatnot. And then, you know, promoting, there's a lot of people that make up their own business cards. They have their own websites, you know, and they promote themselves and whatnot. Because when you get to a certain level and you want to become a professional, it's really good to have a sponsor.
Right.
And if you can get yourself out there and get yourself a sponsor by showing your accomplishments and promoting yourself on the internet or business cards and going to the tournaments and talking to all these different, you know, then it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good way of getting yourself out there and getting yourself recognized and getting a sponsor.
Right.
You know, if I could get myself a sponsor, yeah, then maybe I would go professional, but it's not that easy, and I don't have the money to say, okay, I'm going to quit my job and become a pro.
Right. Have you considered, though, you know, looking for a sponsor, or is that...
You know, I considered it a couple of years ago, and mm-hmm. it's a lot of work. and I'd have to take time off of work, and I just, you know, at that time, I just really could not afford it. So
yeah, I can imagine all the hard work and dedication. I mean, there's, you know, there already is that. I can imagine if you, you know, actually had to go.
It is. It's a lot of work. Like even when we did that pilot, and I was going to be gone off for like 2 years.
Wow.
Off and on, I'd be, you know, gone for like 4 months, maybe come back for a month, whatever, and. So even then, that was going to be, I was like, whew, that's going to be hard.
Yeah, you know, and then you got to think, too, the long run. I mean, you know, you're away for only 2 years. It seems like a long time, but I mean, when you're done the 2 years, then what? You know, you got to go back to work. So,
right, exactly. Yeah. So reality sets back in, you know what I mean?
Sure. We're closing in on the end of the show here, but I wanted to ask you about any help for beginners. Somebody's just getting into pool, or, you know, thinks they'd like to take it up, or what is there available to them, or are places that they can go to and take advantage of?
I would tell people, if they really, really enjoy pool and they want to get out there and, you know, start getting better at the game and playing in tournaments and stuff, to go to their local bars and clubs and that, and regions, and look up, you know, on the walls, because they always have stuff on them, and it'll tell, join our league.
Right.
You know, and they're all out there. They're everywhere.
What about age? You know, you mentioned bars and the legions and things, but what about age?
There are, like, we have a youth pool league here, and so I don't know, different places I'm sure do have them, but I know here we do, and we have them at the different age levels.
Right.
Because I do go and help out with that.
And there are workshops available and things like that from time to time. And
workshops. There's, you know, the master players. They do like little promotions and stuff where they'll have people play against me. If you win a game, you win less free lessons. Or do you know what I mean?
Right.
If you beat me, you can. You know. So they have all different things to promote it and get people to get into it.
What about books and DVDs and videotapes and things like that? Is that helpful?
Abundance of them.
Right.
There's abundance of them. I myself would go on, if you have the internet, you know, go on your computer. You can get all kinds of free information on the computer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go out and buy all this crazy stuff.
I know one show that, or one website that you had mentioned pre-show is onlypoolgames.com. Is that, that's actually playing online pool of some type? Is that what that is?
Well, yeah, it's playing, but you're playing on online.
Right.
It's not an actual game, you know what I mean? But you still are learning. You're learning your juices and how to hit the ball, and you're still learning your angles and everything.
Is it some type of a video game?
Yeah, basically, where you line your cue ball up.
Okay.
And then you kind of hit it, and you say, okay, this is how I want to hit
using
it.
Using your keyboard, I guess, kind of thing, or whatever?
Yeah, you use your keyboard, and you kind of to move the cue ball or the juice or where you're hitting it with the arrows. And then when it's all done, then you just hit the enter button, and then that's how you hit it.
Okay.
I play with my my uncle on there all the time, because he used to be a pool player when he was young. So we play games against each other on the computer.
And you can do that with other players from other areas. It doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You don't have to be two people at the computer to play. It's online gaming. So.
Exactly.
Maybe as a kid or a teen or anything like that. Had you been into other games, like especially with bars and things like that? You know, pool players might be into the darts as well, leagues and things like that, or other tournament type things. Like,
you know, I never really was into darts.
Uh-huh.
I never really did any of that shuffleboard stuff.
Okay.
Pool's
been your thing.
He had a pool table when I was a kid.
Okay, yeah.
And not an actual, it was a smaller one.
Mm-hmm.
But my girlfriend down the street had her dad had a snooker table.
Right.
And we used to fiddle around on that thing all the time.
Yeah.
So that's where I got it from.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't actually because of the bars or whatever. I started getting back into it when I was dating my ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And he played, and we would always go and watch them play. And I'm like, this seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it does sound like a lot of fun. Pool is a lot of fun, you know, just to play and have fun with.
You meet so many different people from all over. Mm-hmm. It's just great.
And it's a pretty safe sport. I mean, it's not like your regular rough, you know.
You know, I play against people that are in wheelchairs.
Uh-huh.
I play against, you know, all different sizes, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that you're bigger and stronger than me.
Right. It doesn't matter who you are. Everybody's at pretty much a fair advantage, I guess, huh?
Exactly.
And so we can look forward to Paige winning her MVP trophy in 2008. And when can we expect you in the Hall of Fame?
Well, let's see.
We'll keep our eyes peeled, that's for sure.
Yeah, keep your eyes peeled. I don't know. I can't give you that information.
Paige, really appreciate you taking the time to be on You Talking to Me. And, you know, we wish you well with your career in pool.
Okay, thank you very much, Big JD.
All right, I'll see everybody next week on You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. Have a great week.
You've been listening to You Talking to Me with Big JD. All shows copyright 2008 Big JD for the OMS Entertainment Group.